Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plale, joined by Nick Watts in the studio, and we've got Tom Siegel and Paul Binfield on the line as well. The dream team, as I like to call it. This show today, we're going to reflect back on the action from Belmont, Haydock, Musselburgh, and of course the Curragh. Of course, Triple Crown winner now, Justify. He did it. But we are going to kick off with a look ahead to Royal Ascot, which is just 8 days away. If you missed our Antipost postcast on Royal Ascot last week, make sure to catch up with that. Very informative. Plenty of big tips flying around. First off, we're just going to talk about some of the Royal Ascot favourites. Which are we keen to oppose? Which are we definitely backing? Rhododendron, Batash, Without Parole, Cracksman, Order of St George, any others? Plenty of famous names in there. Tom, I'll go to you first. Is there a favourite that you just think can't be beaten?
No, I never think that, Maddie.
Never.
No, I don't think I can't remember the last time I backed a favourite, let alone thought one can't be beaten. So no, it's Royal Ascot after all. But there's loads of them. Cracksman's got the best form, but after last time, I know I'm of the opinion that he didn't do too badly. I'd be very worried about him on fast ground. I think all his best forms on much softer ground. Whether he'd like, he might be better on it, he might not, but you know, 5-4 for me is way too short. I think Rhododendron in the first too short. I think she only scraped home from half the field, you know, from Lightning Spear last time, and I can't quite work out why she's 3-1 and he's 8-1. I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think of all of them, Batash maybe, but Matash might be the best bet, but he's got him up against Lady Aurelia and loads of...
Do you worry about him in the prelims still?
Yeah, of course you do, because what happened at, where was it, York? But, yeah, and it's Ascot, it's Royal Ascot. I remember, for all my sins, having one of my larger bets on him to win the Windsor Castle, believe it or not, as a two-year-old, and he came about 15th. So, as is my wont, I got the right horse on the wrong day, badly, but... Yeah, of course I worry about stuff like that, but for me, I don't fancy anything.
What about Order of St George? You like Stradivarius, don't you, in that race?
Well, I like lots in that race. I just think that Stradivarius is an up-and-comer against a horse that's... Well, how old is he now? What's he, six? Is he now?
Six-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. He got beaten last year by a worse horse than Stradivarius. There might have been some issues with the ride and the issues with, you know, a bit of bad luck there, but... I don't know, I think of the two, I prefer Stradivarius. I think it's as good a Gold Cup as I've seen as well. So I'm sitting here and I'm trying to find one of the favourites that I sort of really want to back. I mean, I'm a big Sergei Prokofiev fan, but I'm not sure I'd want to back him in the Coventry. I think he might run in the Norfolk myself. That's my feeling about it. I'm not sure he's a 6-furlong horse. He's up against those two John Godston horses. So standing here now, I can't see myself backing a favourite. Put it like that.
Is it a bit like that with Fairyland? And lots of people saying Albany, but she could go Queen Mary, so we don't quite know.
I don't think she will, because she won over 6 last time, didn't I? I can't believe she'll go back in trips. She didn't look to me like a 5-furlong horse, her. I wouldn't be too keen on backing her back at 5, but I think that Sergei Prokofiev is so speedy, it would be tempting to go for the 5-furlong race. As I say, I mean, I think maybe, you know, sounds ridiculous in a race like the Wokingham, but the Dreamfield might be the best favourite of the whole meeting for me. I mean, I think he looks like he's got £25 in hand probably, but it's the Wokingham and you've got draws and you've got paces and you've got who knows where they're going to go. You've got issues all over the track. So I'm not packing any of the favourites, put it like that.
Excuse me. And finally, before we move on, Without Parole, St James's Palace, what do you reckon? The 3-year-olds are all in a bit of a heap, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're very confident about him, aren't they? I mean, on what he did last time at Sandown, I think he's got, you know, a fair bit to do. You know, he's too short a price, isn't he, on what he showed that day. Johnny Gosden and the boys down there say he's a lot better than he showed that day. And we will see a totally different horse at Ascot. And it's not looking a great race, to be perfectly honest. But on form, the Guinea second is got much better form than Without Patrol. And he's double the price. So I get Without Parole. He's an unbeaten son of Frankel, will light the ground. Trained for the whole race, could easily win, but he's 3-1. I don't want to back him at 3-1, no.
Okay, before I go across to what's he been as, what's the market's been like? Is there any favourites that are particularly strong or weak at this stage?
Yeah, it's been strong enough for this stage of the year, Maddie.
just a quick promo. We're going to have a money back special on every day. Money back all losers, one race every day. That's going to apply from the first 5 day stage for all 5 days. And Tom said he was quite keen on Batash in the King's Stand Stakes. We've got a money back special on that. If Batash or Lady Aurelia wins, it's money back.
Okay, excellent. What's any favourites or any outsiders? What do you make of the whole lot this year?
It's just, like Tom said, I don't think there's anything I'm absolutely bullish about. I think some of the favourites could be vulnerable. I think Rhododendron, yeah, she's good. Am I crying out to back her? No, not really. I'll probably try and find something to take her on with. The same with Without Parole. I do like Batash. I thought he did well to win at Haydock last time. I was quite encouraged by that. You know, he fell asleep in the stalls and, you know, he had a race fit catchy to come up against, who's on the other side of the track. So I thought he did well to get up. I think he was giving away a penalty as well. And I think Connections will be delighted with him. Let's just hope the match-up materialises. Lady Aurelia, of course, loves Ascot and the Royal Meeting, as we know. So Batash is not going to be easy for him by any means. But, you know, I really hope they both turn up, because that would be a real race to savour. I'm a massive Order of St George fan. I think he's not unlucky, but he wasn't given the best ride last year. He could easily be coming here on a hat-trick had he beaten Big Orange last season, of course. Yeah, the ground, it looks like it might be quite quick, but I don't think that bothers him unduly. It was, you know, Royal Ascot last year was in a heat wave. And like I said, he probably ought to have won. And I love the horse anyway. I think what he did at Ascot in October, when he's normally way past his best and he won that long distance cup, looked for three quarters of the race like he was out with a washing, just got the slightest sniff of victory inside the last furlong, and he did what all good horses do, and he went and found a way to win. So yeah, very keen to be Order of St George. I wouldn't oppose Cracksman. Whether I back him or not, I probably wouldn't, but yeah, I'd take a positive view of his run at Epsom last time. I don't think he enjoyed the track, and from where he's positioned, he did well to get past an enterprisingly ridden Salouin. So I think that you could take positives from that if you look on it, you know, in that way. So loads of intriguing puzzles, and you know, it's a very open Royal Ascot. There's so many races that you can take different views on. That makes it all the more exciting. I think it's fantastic, and I can't wait for it to start.
What an advertisement that was. Moving on, Bidders, I'll go to you. A big price fancy.
Maddie, I'm going to go for Desert Skyline in the Gold Cup for David Ellsworth. Tom Segal rubbished me last week for this one. The horse was second in the Yorkshire Cup. I think David Ellsworth is bullish about him. He'll stay the 2.5 miles. And I'm sticking with him each way, Maddie, despite Tom's scepticism.
Didn't fancy him last week, Binners. Fancy him less this. Blimey.
I think Kiehl's fancies him, so you're not on your own, Binners.
Who else fancies him?
Kiehl does, I think.
Oh, does he?
Apparently.
There we go.
He's a much better judge than Tom.
That's true.
Go on then, Tom. Want a big price from you?
Threading in the Coronation Stakes, 25-1, massive price, way too big. By Exceeding Excel, they've got a tremendous record at Ascot. I think the form of the fillies is totally up in the air. Don't fancy Bilsdon Brook to back up. The French Guineas was a funny race. Don't fancy David Simcock's horse. Clemmie was last on her comeback. She might bounce back, I get it, but she's 3-1. I think she's about third in on Racing Post ratings, and I think 25-1 is completely a ridiculous price. I fancy her a bit. What else? I thought Polybius might run well in the Wokingham. David Simcock's horse was fourth last year, £5 lower, I think, or £4 lower this year. Drawn on the wrong side last year, got a great Ascot record. Don't know if he'll get in, but I thought he had a chance. And how about that? Those two will do.
Yeah, they'll do. They're good. What's he?
John Gosling's got another horse in the St James's Palace. Don't know if he's going to run yet, but it's called Il Primo Sole. He's about 25-1. Really good winner on his debut last season at Yarmouth. And then he lost at Sandown in a messy little race, and he lost a couple of times in the winter on the all-weather, but races he really should have won. Just interested, last time out, Gosden threw him into the French Guineas, and he was one of those. They were horrible races, those French Guineas, as Tom already said, and he's one of those quite a few horses who never really saw the light of day, never really had a chance. And I think he finished about 7th or 8th. But just interested that Gosden slung him into that. So he obviously still thinks a bit of him. And I think if it's rattling fast ground next week, that's exactly what he wants. And if he lets him take his chance, he could easily outrun his odds. So, you know, I think he's about 25-1. I don't know, I have to ask Binners, but he would be interesting for me.
Go on, Binners, over to you. The St. Ives Source.
Yeah, 25-1 for Nick Watts. Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, Tom, you've mentioned some in the handicaps that you fancy. Is there any others you want to give a word to?
No, I thought for my weekend of columnists, I've been having a look at the Hunt Cup. I thought it was really hard this year. Nothing stood out. The Wokingham, I like Polybius quite a bit. I'll have a few quid on him. I think he's obviously got a problem with Dreamfield, who could be really well handicapped. We don't have the weights for others. I would be very interested in a horse called Caradoc, but it's only had 2 runs. I don't know if they qualify these days for the Britannia or not. I can never quite work that out. But I'm very interested in him in the race going forward. Whether it'll be Ascot, I don't know. But that would be it really at the moment. It's really hard to do these days without the weights, isn't it? Mm. Without seeing who's entered, having a go at any of these handicaps. But
Do you try and take a particular approach? Do you look for horses at the top of the weights, the bottom of the weights, recent form, whether they look well handicapped? What approach do you take? Breeding, I know, another thing.
I'm going to say this very quietly because I actually watched about 5 minutes of the Grand Prix last night.
Oh, and wasn't it boring?
Not watching Love Island like everyone else.
I should have watched Love Island. The motor racing is so boring. But you sit there, and I watched 10 minutes of it, and I don't know what they are, red colours were in the front. Ferraris were in the front, then sort of these grey ones were second and third, and then these sort of bluey ones were, you know, and they never changed position the whole race. And I thought, well, that's just like horse racing. You've got your Galileos and your Debarwies and your Frankels, and then everything else is sort of trying to get involved with them, but it's really hard to do. I think if you backed the best bred horse, basically, from one of the top sires in the races this year, a friend of mine was doing statistics on it the other day, you'd be miles up in profit. I think it's very hierarchical racing, and therefore I think pedigree is the sort of the unknown or the last vestige of value, if you see what I mean. I think everyone bangs on about draws and pace and jockey form, trainer form, recent form, all those sort of things that everyone can read. But I think pedigrees are still undervalued. I think they're massively undervalued in the market. So that would be my thing. I've said it many times. I'll be looking at Scat Daddies, Exceed and Excels, Warfronts, the obvious ones at Ascot, because I think you give yourself a better chance.
Yeah.
Better chance of finding a better price winner, because it's not necessarily therefore about what is already in the market, what everyone else knows.
Yeah. Is it easier this year? Because a couple of years ago, it was really soft ground for the first couple of days, wasn't it? But hopefully it'll be fast this time around. Does that make your job easier?
Ah, well, yeah, it does, because we sort of know what conditions are going to be. And any time there's any confusion in the system, it does make it harder. You might find better priced ones, but then, you know, when you get soft ground, you get very vagaries in the track. You get track passes. People always say it's the pace. I'm not having that. When these sprint handicaps are one that when these sprint handicaps are fought out, they're nearly always more to do with which is the best place on the track to be than the pace. I don't believe in that pace thing at all. I just don't think you can justify where anything's going to be. So the faster the ground, the better it is for everyone, I think.
Okay, and do you take a particular approach when you're looking at these handicaps, trying to dissect them?
I normally swerve them. That's my approach.
That's cheating.
No. Races I do like best, Tom won't be surprised for me to say this, is the Ascot Stakes, because it's 2.5 miles. And I feel on familiar territory, because you get your Hendersons, your Mullins horses in there, a few of those that have been hurdling over the winter.
Love it.
So that is a race I really enjoy. And we don't know the entries yet. We don't know if she's going to come over. But you're asking if you had a fancy for one of the handicaps. Mullins has got a great record in the Ascot Stakes. Mm. Whatever he runs, you have to take due account of. And I'd be interested if you brought a horse called Lagos de Vegas over, who came over for the Cesarich last year, finished third behind Withhold, the handicap good thing, ran a really good race. And he got Ryan Moore to ride her that day. Ran a very good race and brought her over to England again to Cheltenham for the county hurdle, finished 5th in March. That was another good run. She loves these big field handicaps, I think, and if Lagos de Vegas came over on the first day, I'd be interested in her.
Hey, but Watsy, I've got some jumpers for you.
Go on then.
I've got some jumpers for you. Limini.
Yeah, she's been in the entries lately,
she's
hasn't
been
she?
In the entries lately. I wonder if she... Yeah, she was entered in a couple of races recently. I wondered if she came over.
Jumps at, or on flat?
On the flat.
On the flat,
on the
yeah.
flat. And our old friend Penn Hill.
Yeah.
What about him in
they
the Ascot Stakes?
They planned to bring him to Ascot last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
But he had his injury.
Tony Bloom would like him to, pretty sure, to come to Ascot. He's very well handicapped, wouldn't he, be in the Ascot Stakes or the Queen Alexandra? What about those? I think if he turned up against Lagos to Vegas, I think your Lagos to Vegas could start now and he still wouldn't beat him.
That's true. Do you think he's definitely come? I haven't read much about Penn Hill lately.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would have thought that would have been the plan for him, yeah.
Okay. We'll let Binners have the final word then. Binners, any handicap things that you like?
Yeah, quite interested in a horse called Cape Barren, trained by Rod Gavarian, Maddie, in the Royal Hunt Cup. He's a 20-1 poke. I think that's a nice each-way price. I was at York. I saw him finish fourth in the Hambleton Stakes. I thought that was a nice effort on effectively his seasonal debut, and I'm looking forward to that one.
Okay, excellent. We'll talk about what we're most looking forward to for the week just after this.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. We're now going to talk about what we're most looking forward to about the Royal Ascot Week. It's a great occasion in general, isn't it, Watsy? It's something for everyone there.
Yeah, it's fantastic. As an unashamed royalist, I love the pomp and ceremony of it. I love seeing the Queen come down and the carriages at 2 o'clock. It's fantastic. It's a colourful occasion. There's great fashion. I'm not particularly into fashion, as anyone who knows me could tell. But it's great to see so many, such a variety of people in costumes and outfits. And you know, it's just 5 days of absolute bliss. It's fantastic racing. You don't need to move anywhere if you're not going. Just sit in front of the TV. We've got the World Cup, you know, in the evening as well. So, you know,
perfection.
We can be couch potatoes for you know, the foreseeable, which is great. Really looking forward to it.
Are you going to be a couch potato, or are you going to get yourself there?
No, I'll be office based, unfortunately. But you know, if there's one race I'm looking forward to amongst above all others, it would be the King Stand. If the real Batash and the real Lady Aurelia turn up, I'll just love seeing flat horses run as fast as they can. I remember Deja as probably before your time, but he was a fantastic thing to watch. And, you know, just horses going flat out over 5 furlongs, fantastic.
Okay, Tom, I'll pass the mantle over to you. Are you going to go to Ascot at all?
I'm there every day. Yeah,
every
indeed.
Day.
Yeah, I'm
Lucky
there every
sod.
Day. Not 5 furlong sprinters. No, can't stand sprinters. Waste of time, sprints. No, not interested
we'll
in them.
We'll have variety on this postcard.
Not interested in sprints at all. All the other races, I love two-year-old races. They're the races because my interest is in trying to work out what's the next big thing rather than what is already a big thing. So I'm really interested in the Coventry and the Queen Mary and all those two-year-old races, Chesham's. Last year it was Massar, wasn't it, running in the Chesham for, you know, loads of brilliant horses. Well, two-year-olds that will end up being classic horses will be running there. So they'll be my thing. But I was just going to say to Watsy, it's all right being a royalist when you're a member of the royal family. Us poor rest of us sitting on the back here, you know. Living in the digs, getting on our bikes, and you've got your old chauffeur taking you to work. It's all right for some.
They've opened it up now, Tom. Catherine Windsor was just a normal person before she got married to William.
I know. There we go. You see,
just a normal person. That's what we all are to Dick Watts. Just
exactly.
Normal people. Tom, of the two-year-old races, any one in particular that you like above the rest for a reason?
Coventry. Always love the Coventry. One of my favourite races. I just think it's a great race. Always has been. Really looking forward to seeing if he runs Calix.
Yeah, I was going to Tom, if you switched to Legends now, you were Legends of War, but haven't
well,
seen
I am
that
Legends
Calix?
Of War. I don't think Calix will run. What's it called? Shalar, was it?
Yeah,
Shalar?
He won that, and then the
and then
July
they missed.
Richmond.
They missed. I don't yeah. think. I think Johnny G will run scared of the Coventry. I think with Calix, so I'm still on Legends of War myself. But very impressive, wasn't he? I think there's some. I think only. Somehow I was reading somewhere that I think three horses have sort of won by 11 start. Lengths or whatever it was. And he's one of them. And the other two are Farr and Kingman or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's clearly very good, isn't he? He's clearly very, very good. But I don't think he'll run. I think Johnny will go somewhere else.
Yeah, that was an interesting stat. Can't remember it off the top of my head. I think it was to do with the distance from the first to the second and the second to the third.
That's right.
James Willoughby was talking
That's
about it,
it
yesterday. Anyway, do you think he's the most straightforward, Tom? Because he's got a bit of a high head carriage and he's a bit of a... He was wearing a hood in the paddock, and Dottori wasn't on him. And
no, well, of course he's not the most straightforward, but he can certainly run fast. I know that.
Okay, right, we'll move on. But before we do, Calix, what do you reckon? How high could he go?
Well, first impressions. I mean, you know, I didn't see all the, you know, paddock stuff and all that. I just literally watched him from the stalls to the line. And so from what he looked then, he looked absolutely fantastic, didn't he? And, it's funny, the only classic John Gosden's never won is the 2000 Guineas. He obviously come close with Kingman and the like, but he's already got two Legends of War. Tom's mentioned him, and Calix, who, if they went the right way, you wouldn't be surprised to see them, you know, uppermost in the market for that, you know, very soon.
Okay, Binners, what price is Calix for the Coventry, and do you have a big handicap fancy? Oh, sorry, you've already said Kate Byron. Calix for the Coventry.
Yeah, he's a 5-1 chance, Maddie. We went in at 10-1 after the race. That price has proved too popular for punters. I agree with Tom. I'm not sure that he's going to show up reading between the lines of Mr. Gosden's comments afterwards. I think he's more likely to go for the superlative stakes at Newmarket. But then again, I'm not privy to Mr. Gosden's inside information, so I don't know. But we were far too big at 10-1, and he's now halved in price to 5-1 for the best two-year-old race of the meeting.
That seems very short, but he was very impressive. Binners, are you going all days as well? Are you going to be there with Tom?
I will be going every day.
It's not
going
to be with me. No. I don't go down that far.
Oh!
Jeez, yeah. Tom would never hang out with an oink like me.
No chance. Watsy's at the top. I'm in the middle. Binners is down the bottom.
Totally at the bottom, I'll tell you. And listen, as long as all the jockeys and horses come home safely, we'll have a good meeting. There'll be huge crowds enjoying themselves. It's a meeting like no other. Guy Henderson and the Ascot team do a wonderful job. And I'm looking forward to it immensely.
Hear, hear. Well, we know the hierarchy then. I don't want to know where I fit into that hierarchy. Right, moving on to your best bet of the whole week. What's here? I'll go to you first. Sell it to us.
I really like the chances, particularly if it stays dry, of Alpha Centauri in the Coronation Stakes. I thought she won very nicely last time out in the Irish Guineas. I think the only bad run she's put in has been on a soft surface, which is she's unlikely to get. She ran really well at the meeting last season and second in the Albany. And she looks like she's come back to her best. So I'm going to side with Jessica Harrington and Alpha Centauri in the Coronation.
OK, Binners, what price Alpha Centauri?
Alpha Centauri, one moment. The Coronation Stakes, 1 second. Here we go. A 4-1 joint favourite with Clemmy. And then we go 5-1 Pepal, Dave Pimcock's first classic winner. 6th Wind Chimes, Bilston Brook, and it's 8-bar.
Fantastic. Tom, are you going for something a bit of a bigger price for your best bet?
I'm hoping Sioux Nation wins the Commonwealth Cup. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's...
What price is he?
He's about 5-1, I think. I think there's been a lot of money recently for Charlie Hills' horse, Equilateral. Now, I don't know what everyone saw that I didn't see, but I get that he won very easily at Doncaster. It was a bit of an egg and spoon race. I mean, you know, he's up from a novice stakes into Group 1. Sioux Nation's won Group 1, so... I'd be much rather backing him than Equilateral, and that's it. Really, I definitely think Alpha Centauri is the one to beat in the Coronation, but I still think that Threading's a massive price at 25-1, and I backed her each way too.
Okay, fantastic. Binners, your best bet for the week.
I'm going Expert Eye for Sir Michael Stout in the Jersey Stakes, Maddie.
You love him almost as much as Watsy loves Orion's Bow, don't you?
Oh, God.
I do,
oh,
yeah.
Now. Where's Orion's Bow running?
I was going to say, I did watch Caspian Prince win. I saw him lobbing up there. And then I went, no, it's not going to happen.
Just needs to get it down a few more pounds.
Just a few more.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Sorry, Binners, carry on.
No, Maddie, nobody could love a horse like the way Tom, Nick Bent loves
well
that
said,
horse.
Binners.
Everyone.
Yeah. Expert Eye, I tipped him up for the Guineas. He didn't run a race. A very interesting piece in the Post yesterday was Stout. He reckons that the horse doesn't like the Roly Mile, and he's run big races everywhere else. He drops in trip and class in the Jersey Stakes, and I think he's a reasonable price, and I really like the horse still.
Okay, Tom, I just want to ask your opinion on that bet. What do you think, Expert Eye?
Can't stand the horse. can't stand the horse. Again, he's got loads of ability, Binners, and I think you're right. In terms of natural ability, he could win that, but he does everything wrong in his races. I think he's a sprinter. He's by acclamation. I still think 7 furlongs will be too much for him. I know he won at Goodwood last year. I'm very interested in her, if she runs a horse of Andre Farb's in that Wind Chime, she's called. She's also in the Coronation Stakes. She's also in the French Oaks this weekend. But I remember at the start of the season, because I backed her for the 1,000 guineas, because Farber was saying she'll come over for that. But he was saying the worry he's got is the trip. He thinks he's a 7 furlong filly. He won the Jersey last year with La Bravido. She was desperately unlucky not to win the French guineas. She got trapped out wide, went widest of all. And sort of she plateaued out, I thought, in the last 100 yards when I thought she was coming to win the race. So if she was to drop back to 7 furlongs, I'd give her a massive shot against Binners's expert eye, the Orion's bow of the Irish Racing Office.
I like that. I'm sure there's plenty of people who still believe in expert eye, but they're probably the same people who still believe in Orion's bow. Anyway, right, we'll move on to this week. There's a decent card at Leopardstown on Thursday night featuring the Group 3 Ballycora Stakes. I don't think we've got any betting for this, but we've got a few horses engaged. Emmaus, who was withdrawn at Haydock, Murillo, True Valor. So there are some good horses racing on Thursday. Anyone had chance to look at this? Watson, you had a quick look at all?
Well, I had a little look. I mean, it's difficult to weigh up at this stage, isn't it? And it's probably just a nice pot for horses who, you know, maybe aren't good enough to compete next week or aren't particularly fancied next week. So it's a good prize for them. Maybe Murillo. I know it's disappointing at Newbury last time, but didn't run badly in the Guineas before that. He was placed in the Coventry last season, wasn't he? So he's got plenty of class. Maybe if he, you know, he's taken in his current form, it's probably maybe too much to ask for him to go over next week. I don't know if he's even declared for anything. So it could be the sort of race for him. But at this stage, it's, you know, it's just guesswork what's even going to run.
OK, Binners?
Yeah, you just mentioned their mouse for Roger Devarian, Maddie. If he goes over and runs for the China Horse Club, I'll be interested in him. Won the King Richard III at Leicester in April in nice style. But as Nick says, it's difficult to know what's going to run at this stage, and we're all guessing to an extent.
Yeah, we'll talk more about China Horse Club and, of course, their big horse, Justify, who won the Triple Crown. Tom, anything on Thursday at Leopardstown for you at all?
Well, the only thing you'd say about that Emmaus, our horse, was that he was really late non-runner, wasn't he, at Haydock on Saturday in the Gunnar Gaunt, was it the Group 3 on Saturday? That was, I presume, because of the fast ground. He's all his forms on soft ground. So if it doesn't, I mean, Leopardstown can get really fast. If it's fast ground there, I don't think he'll be running. Look, Flight Risk won it last year from the front. It's a funny track, Leopardstown, on very fast ground. So I'd give the race a swerve for the moment.
Okay. Roger Varian has got a really good record when he sends his horses over to Ireland, but perhaps we'll leave that alone for now. Anything else for the week ahead worth noting? Of course, the Ganton is at York on Friday and then the Skybet Grand Cup on the Saturday. The Scurry Stakes at Sundown on Saturday too. Tom, I'll get you. Did you look at any of those? Yeah, your cup of tea?
No, I had a look at the Scurry Stakes lots of Godolphin horses in there. The horse I was talking about, the one, the Windsor Castle, the Exceeding the Sound of Silence is there. Roussel's there. So it looks, as you say, Maddie, these meetings here at the weekend, they're sort of a horses that aren't going to Royal Ascot, are they? You wouldn't run a really good horse at these meetings with Ascot around the corner. But, I mean, there's some tremendous handicaps at York, Chester and Sandown all on Saturday with 0 to 105. You know, some of these horses wouldn't get in at Ascot these days, you know, rated 100. So there'll be loads to get our teeth stuck into. Look, Mark Johnson on fast ground, I'd be looking at a few of his horses around Sandown and Chester, especially on Saturday.
OK. Anything else to add, Binners?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a two-year-old called Big Boots at York on Friday in the 150, Maddie, if he runs for Mick Shannon. He's found 1-2 good the last couple of times, but I liked him when he won at Bath. And I think good to firm ground will suit. He was second on soft ground last time.
OK, any eye catches in the entries?
Yeah, there's one at Sandown on Friday. Ed Dunlop trains it called Dagano, who won at Nottingham last time. He's a young stayer by Champs-Élysées. Won over a mile and six at Nottingham last time on soft ground. Wants it faster, and you should get that at Sandown. So he's quite a promising sort. And Dunlop's, he's won a Gold Cup, hasn't he, with Trip to Paris, who's by Champs-Élysées as well. So he does well with these stays. I'm going to come on to one in a little while who won at Newmarket last weekend. But I like Ed Dunlop in staying races, and this could be another improving young horse for
him. Yeah, we talk about size a lot. Isn't Billiston Brook by Champs-Élysées as well?
It is indeed, yeah.
Some odd combinations throw up. Anyway, we'll talk about the Triple Crown just after this.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Now it's time to go stateside, of course. Justify, he won the Belmont Stakes very impressively indeed. Gronkowski was in there second, of course, ex-Jeremy Nazida horse who missed the start by a long way. He ran a massive race. Tom, what did you make of the Triple Crown? You into your dirt racing?
I love my American racing. It's one of my I've got lots of favourite races, but one of my favourite races is the Kentucky Derby for the simple reason that it's, as I said earlier, it's one of those races that you don't actually know what's going to happen. I'm trawling through form and finding out which is the best of horses that have run lots of times. It's not really my thing. I like projecting what might happen among horses, and all these horses coming into a mile and a quarter race in the Kentucky Derby is fascinating for me because it's about pedigree. It's about things we don't know yet. It's trying to, it's a bit of imagination required to try and work out what's going to happen. Didn't take too much imagination on Saturday to find Justify, but I thought he was brilliant.
Well, you mentioned that. I'll just interject and say, I think he was the first horse to win the Triple Crown, the first for a long time anyway, having not raced at three. Of course, he's done so much in such a short space of time. You'd have a job to have found him, wouldn't you?
What, at the start of the season? Yeah, he was favourite, wasn't he? I mean, when you were looking back, he was favourite for the Kentucky Derby, or very near favourite. So everyone else seemed to find him. But at the start of the season, of course, you couldn't.
No.
So you wouldn't have known what he was doing unless you happened to be Bob Baffert's head lad. I did read somewhere that after Mendelssohn won the Dubai World, whatever it was called.
UAE Derby.
Yeah. Bob Baffert walked into the winner's enclosure and said he was the second best scat daddy in the world, which sort of gave you a hint that he might have a nice one.
Yeah.
As it's turned out, he does. I mean, Justify is absolutely brilliant. I think the interesting thing about it is that everyone seemed to get sucked into the won't stay category.
Yeah, by Scat Daddy. It's not a pedigree that says it's going to stay.
It's not a pedigree, but I think the point is, I think we get very distance specific, and we get blinded by it. If you're a better horse than all the others you're running against, trips become largely irrelevant. I think I remember back to Watsy. You'll remember me watching Steve Ovett win over 5,000 meters, and Dave Moorcroft winning over 10,000 metres when we were young growing up.
God, and I'm not that old.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You were born in the 80s.
I remember Linford Christie. That was my first athlete, I remember.
Watsy, you told us last week how old you were. So I know you were alive watching this. Remember. Anyway, they were much better over shorter trips. What they were is they were better over 800, 1500 metres. But they could extend against lesser opposition over further because they were simply better than them. They were never going too fast for their own good. And I think that's what happened on Saturday. When you come up against a really, really top class stayer over a mile and a half, I think Justify would be in trouble.
Yeah.
But he's not
likely to race at that distance
never
again,
again. He'll never race against at that distance again, no. But that and that, what the issue with Saturday is we all got sucked into thinking there was probably a really good mile and a half horse in against him, and there wasn't. So he could sort of dictate, do what he wanted. He obviously had his stablemate to help him. And I think, he's exceptional. He's a brilliant horse. He's a brilliant horse,
so
and I love
exciting.
Watching him.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. What's he justified? Did you watch it?
No, I was at Stratford on Friday and Saturday night.
So of course you were.
You were not at Stratford. If that's true, Watsy, you are down in my estimation. I'm calling the Queen.
No, he was. He was. I can tell you he was.
That is true. It was Hunter Chase night on Friday night, and I had another meeting there on Saturday. So.
Oh, that was your pals, wasn't it? All your Alan Hill and your lot, your mob, they were down there. Were they winning?
Yeah, no, they had a couple of place horses, but they did all right. But, no, I mean, being honest, American racing wouldn't be my thing really. I've got enough to keep me busy over on this side of the pond. But
it's Stratford under chases.
Yeah, just from an interest point of view, I was going to say to Tom, it's just interesting. Ballo Doyle obviously want to get involved in these American Triple Crown races, and you know they haven't quite got the tactics right, haven't got the horse right so far because they tried Mendelssohn in it, that went disastrously. Yeah. I'm sure they'll get the hang of it at some stage, and they'll get the right horse to get the right tactics to be able to conquer these races. But it just shows how difficult it is.
It is very much so. Very much so, Watsy, and the three-year-olds especially at the start of the season. It's very, very difficult, but once again, showing my age. Clive Britton did it. Dermot Weld won it, didn't he? Won the Belmont. We have been able to do it. Mm. It's just the Kentucky Derby is sort of a tricky one. We've had horses run well in it, though.
Do you think it's because the race has almost run backwards? Aidan O'Brien alluded to this. He said all their racing is done in the first half of the race. You know, it's stall gate speed, and it's that initial first few furlongs, and then it doesn't really matter after that. You've got to stay on.
The jockey quote, actually, that backs up. The jockey quote from Gronkowski said he was really slow out of the gates.
Oh, he was,
and he's
yeah.
had to ride him accordingly. So maybe that's part of the plan.
Yeah, there's definitely an issue with that, but we have won Breeders' Cup Classics, haven't we? Ravens Pass won it. Swain was beaten a short head. Mm. Frankie probably would class that as his worst ever ride, worst ever moment in the saddle, I think. He probably should have won. Giant's Causeway was beaten a nose, wasn't he? So it's not like we get lapped in some of the best races. We can compete. It's just that the Kentucky Derby itself is at the start of the season, isn't it? It's 2,000 guineas day. It's against all their horses on their home turf that are prepped to the minute for the race, and we've got to go out and try and beat them in a. And let's not forget, this year was a bit of a debacle because of the rain.
Yeah.
So I don't think, you know, I think come the end of the season, I think Mendelssohn will be running against Justify. I don't know if he'll beat him, but I think he'll give him a race. And therefore, you know, it's just set a sound start. It will happen. We will win it because, well, the lack of Scat Daddy's, the sort of unfortunate death of Scat Daddy probably doesn't help the Bally Doyle team, the Cornwall team winning it in the near future. But they did buy American Pharaoh, for example.
Yeah.
So they're going to give it a good shot. And
lots
you know.
Of sons of Scat Daddy as well. Caravaggio, No Nay Never's made a great start. All them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Before we just keep talking and talking over in Binners, how do you rate Justify? Have we got any prices on him for the Breeders' Cup Classic or anything like that? Because he was pretty exceptional, wasn't he?
Well, I didn't actually see it, Maddie. I'm a UK and Irish racing specialist.
Oh my God, Stratford and Ireland.
I leave American racing to John Sheeran at Paddy Power, our international expert. But we've made Justify 6-4 on from 2-1 favourite for the Travers Stakes, and for the Breeders' Cup Classic we go 6-4 favourite from 7-2 favourite, while Gronkowski is 10 from an incredible 100-1.
Maddie, well, let's just me and you talk about this in future. These heathens that don't watch.
I could talk about it all day. I love it. It's I've been excited about him from day one. But anyway, it's not about me. We'll move on now to weekend eye catchers. It definitely won't be Justified for Binners or you, Watsy. Anything at Stratford catch your eye?
No, but something at Newmarket certainly did. He's been a horse on my radar, you know, right from the beginning of the season. Amazing Red, trained by Ed Dunlop.
Yeah.
I've been following him for a long time, partly because he's a half-brother to one of my favourite horses, Red Caddo, so I was always interested to see how he progressed. He's by Teofilo, who often gets very good stayers, and I thought he was unexposed coming into the season. That's twice he's won now. He won at Newmarket on the weekend in the start of a rapidly improving horse, and I think Ed Dunlop said that he's going for the Northumberland Plate next. He took him for a sighter to Newcastle back in the springtime over it. I think he ran in quite a valuable handicap on, it might have been Good Friday meeting, over a mile and a half, and he was like staying on, finished fifth or sixth, so he's ticking up there once already. The 2-mile trip of the Northumberland Plate will suit him very, very well indeed, and I just thought he won very, very, very nicely at the weekend. Like I mentioned earlier, Dunlop really knows how to handle these stayers, how to program them, which races to go for. And Amazing Red looks very exciting to me, and I think he's capable of a lot more.
Melbourne Cup?
Well, I mean, it's the same owners as Red Caddo, so it might start to be in the very back of their minds now. I imagine he'll have to go up. Well, we'll see how he's handicapped after this Newcastle win, but he did win very comfortably, so he might get quite a hefty raise. You'll probably need another one to get into Melbourne these days.
Okay, Binners, I'll go to you first before Tom. Weekend eye catcher.
Well, Amazing Red is a 12-1 poke for the Northumberland Plate for Nick, Maddie. My eye catcher, I travelled to the Curragh on Friday to see a horse called Pride of Pimlico for the Curragh Kundra Brendan Duke. We were worried about the fast ground beforehand. Pulse came in and the jockey said, yeah, I think he is a black type performer on softer ground. So we're looking at listed races, and I still think he's very, very good despite only finishing fourth at the Curragh.
Okay, Pride of Pimlico for Binners then. Tom, finally.
I liked a horse at Newmarket called Aim of Artemis for John Gosden. I think she's going to want a lot further than that. And she was really weak in the market, as though she'd done no work at all. But she was impressive, I thought. I think she's going to be a really good stakes filly when she goes up in trip. I thought, I agree with the boys about Red, what's it called, at Newmarket. But I thought Mancini yesterday was quite impressive at Goodwood. He got sort of, the race just didn't go right for him at Haydock last time. But I think it was a really good race, the Grand Vizier race. And I think he came out yesterday. I think he's a progressive young stayer. He won by 5 yesterday. He could have won by 10. He was only getting going at the line. I think he's the type of horse that will keep defying the handicap. He'll probably go up £8 again. But I could see him running in the Cesarewitch at the end of the season and not being without a chance. So there would be my two, Aim of Artemis and Mancini, whichever one you call. I call him Mancini, but the commentator was calling him Mancini.
Ah, well, the debate goes on.
What do you reckon?
I've not a clue, Tom.
You're not a football fan, Maddie? Not going to watch the World Cup?
Well, I used to play football a little bit when I was younger, and I'll watch a little bit of it here and there, but no.
According to my running order, it says, who do you fancy for the World Cup later on? I'm waiting for yours. Now you've told us you were Fran Kirby of the...
No, definitely not. No, I don't. I've got to be honest, I don't really have a clue about the World Cup, but I'm sure you do.
No, I don't have, don't ask me about football. But who have I backed? I'll tell you who I've backed. I've backed Belgium. Boring old Belgium. Can't think of it. I don't think they've ever... What do you know, football? What do you think? Belgium?
You can't do that. Put it on to Watsy.
It's funny, Tom. I actually agree. There's no... All the previews I've been to, and I went to the Racing Post one last week, which was brilliant. No love for Belgium at all, but they've got a cracking team if they get it right. They've got De Bruyne, they've got Hazard, they've got Courtois in goal, Alderweireld and company in Vertonghen at the back. They've got it all there. It's just...
Lukaku.
It's just in the head with Belgium. If they get their heads right, they can win it.
Is that your tip, Belgium?
That's my tip, yeah.
There
best outside of Portugal.
Binners, what do we reckon?
Well, Maddie, I've got a five-a-side game tonight, so if you want to put your shorts on and come up and have a quick game for us, no problem at all.
I would pay not to do that, Binners. My footballing days are well and truly over, but I appreciate invite.
Was it the veteran, St. Ives veterans, is it?
Listen, we would pay you to play, Maddie.
In which case, I'll reconsider.
My football knowledge is even more parochial than my racing knowledge. I'm Cambridge United. I know nothing about international football, but I'm going to go for Brazil because I love Steve Palmer's column in the Racing Post. And he says that the only worry is France in the semi-final. So I'll go with Saucy Steve.
Saucy Steve? Blimey, have you met him? That's not the adjective I'd call. I'd refer to him as.
I think we can conclude that we're all a bit rubbish when it comes to the World Cup. But if you are like us, and we'll be back tomorrow with the football postcast previewing the first round of group games at the World Cup. Then on Wednesday, Steve Palmer, he will be back with Bruce looking ahead to the US Open, which kicks off on Thursday. So we might not have been able to be much help in that direction, but those surely will be. And on that bombshell, we'll leave you there for today. If you enjoy listening to these postcasts, don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to them on iTunes.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.